Hey everybody, this is the Mean Green Nation Podcast, episode 10. It is time to talk about the game. The game. The terrible happenings at Apogee Stadium. I was there, I saw it. I know what happened. I was watching the whole time. I wasn't that drunk this time. I had a lot to drink. I was tailgating, but I saw everything that happened. Tony, how did you see the game? Or did you just listen to it?
No, I watched it on Watch ESPN.
Oh, yeah. So, how was that experience, by the way?
It was okay. I run wireless on my laptop, so Watch ESPN tends to freeze every now and then, right? Probably during the most crucial parts of the game. But, you know, it was okay. I rewatched the parts I didn't get to see, and, you know, for the most part, there was a lot that I wish I hadn't seen. So, yeah.
Okay, well, let's start at the top. Let's reset the game.
Okay.
If you guys don't know what the hell I'm talking about, that's weird because it was the big news of the weekend. I mean, like the women's team, women's soccer team went out and won two games? They won both games, right?
I think so.
We'll find that out. We'll find that out by the end of this thing. And I sound like I'm competent. But yeah, okay, so I know they won the Friday night game. Okay, so we said they played Troy, opening of the final season, the final go-round in the Sun Belt Conference. Troy coming in has like traditionally been a really good passing team. You know, they have a good quarterback, Corey Robinson. The last two times that UNT and Troy have played, it has been kind of like a shootout. And so, you know, North Texas coming into this game had two decent enough showings against top 20 ranked teams in LSU and Kansas State. And, you know, like a less than convincing win against Texas Southern. Is that okay, putting it that way?
I would agree with that.
Okay. So I felt coming into this game that North Texas had every shot of winning this game. It was a very winnable game against a very beatable team at home. What were your feelings coming into the game?
I thought we'd win this game. I was a little worried about Troy's offense, having put up 500-plus yards on Mississippi State. But I thought, you know, I'd seen tremendous improvement in our defense between the LSU and Kansas State games and, you know, obviously Texas Southern. But I thought I'd seen tremendous improvement in our defense, and I was confident. I thought our offense would be able to move the ball. And it was pretty much not that.
Well, I mean, tend to disagree. There's like 422 yards of offense put up. The running game, although not as explosive and as not as dominant as they were, they were moving the ball. I think Troy made an effort to step up and defend against the run. They were not going to give Brandon Byrd and Antoine Jimerson the kind of room, the running room, and the freedom that they enjoyed against Texas Southern, obviously. And they saw that they were like, you know, Antoine Jimerson was shifty against Kansas State.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I shouldn't have stated it the way I did. They moved the ball. There's no doubt they moved the ball. They just couldn't put points up. And, I mean, you know, some of that was obviously on the special teams too. But the offense just was struggling, red zone-wise, just struggling. You know, coming into the Troy game, I knew we had a big play guy in Breland Chancellor, and I was hoping to find another one in that game somewhere, and I still haven't seen it. Delgado had a nice, real long catch, I think. I want to say it was in the third quarter. But he had a real nice, long grab, and I thought that might have been the start of something, but, you know, I haven't really seen enough explosiveness out of the offense.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing was, and I think it's strange because everybody was like, well, look, Derek Thompson played really well. He completed 25 of 28 passes against, you know, number 15 Kansas State that, you know, went on to beat Oklahoma this week. So where was that guy? You know, he's out here completing 12 of 28 against Troy. Troy is not really known for their vaunted defense, you know what I mean? And it's at home. How come Derek Thompson's not completing passes here? And that's the thing. He throws a beautiful deep ball, and that was a pass to to Ivan Delgado that you're talking about. That was also the pass to Breland Chancellor that went for 50 yards and a score. It all looked like, you know, like Troy was, they were daring Derek Thompson to beat him over the top. And they said, you're not going to get the short stuff. You're not going to be able to pound the ball, you know. So you're going to have to beat us deep. And they did beat him deep. But there was no deep. You can't throw it deep, you know, when you're inside the 35 or in the 20. It takes some accuracy. You got to fit some tight passes in between dudes or against one-on-one coverage. And I think there was there at least in that fourth quarter, where North Texas was down 14-7. There were at least like three or four passes that Derek Thompson overthrew, and that's what sticks out in everybody's mind. They're like, "Oh, he's just overthrowing." Mm-hmm. But that's the case, and it's strange to see a really good quarterback play like that, you know. And like they basically said, "Hey, Derek Thompson, you beat us because you can't do this," and he couldn't. They were right. We lost.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And, you know, we haven't talked about the special teams yet. We're going to talk about that. But the biggest problem I felt was the fact that we had to go for it so many times on fourth down. Every time, you know, I'm sitting there watching this and I'm like, Thompson's got to make a good throw here. Thompson's got to make a good throw. And he would throw it over somebody's head or throw it down towards the ground.
Yep.
Every time I was looking for that consistency and that clutch pass, it just wasn't there. And it was really disappointing to me. I kept expecting it. He's a junior now, and I expect him to be able to make kind of throws, and to not see it was extremely frustrating.
Yeah. It's strange, and you got to think that teams going forward are going to be looking to exploit that. Obviously, Derek Thompson's like busted up about it, and he wants to improve, and he will improve. He was getting a little defensive on Twitter today. I noticed that. He's like, yeah, man, this is hard. I want to do that. I'm the quarterback. I'm going to do it. I don't think anybody should be calling for Andrew McNulty. There's no reason, there's no evidence to suggest that Andrew McNulty would be a significantly better upgrade or a better chain, you know, like option than Derek Thompson. From everything that we've seen, Derek Thompson can play, he can start, and he can, you know, lead this team. He's just making mistakes there. And, you know, he had the yips. He was throwing it high. Another guy who has shown consistency and shown that he can be the guy is Zach Olin. And he wasn't the guy on Saturday. He got yanked. That was so strange. I don't know, like, missed field goals, especially early in the game, you're like, okay, shake it off. Shake it off. We got this. Especially in that game. But they came back to hunt the team.
I don't know how validity there was, but I heard somebody on Go Mean Green say that a coach was actually yelling at him before he ever went out to kick, which is really weird. I don't know why a coach would yell at a kicker before he ever even went and kicked. I could understand him yelling after he missed one. But I don't know if there's something mentally going on with Zach Olin. We were talking about this before we got on here, and we're talking about his freshman year and how he was like 15, 16 or something, you know, really, really good. And the last 2 years, he's barely been at like 50%. So there's something, I don't know if it's a mechanical issue, if it's a mental issue or what's going on, but there's something wrong with him. And I hope in a way that it's not a mental issue, because I think we hurt that even more by benching him for the rest of the game, pretty much in that second half.
Yeah. Who was it? I can't even think right now. Brett Vito was saying that he thinks that on the conference call, like the Sun Belt conference call, the coaches conference call, Dan McCartney was saying that the kicking position is wide open, and how that you never want to play like it's like kind of like that same thing about quarterbacks. If you have two, then you have none, really. You know, like you're gonna have the guy. He's going to be too afraid to miss because for fear of losing his job, that he's going to miss. And so you're kind of, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy or whatever the correct terminology is there. You're messing it up. I don't know, though. But, I mean, I'm not there in practice. I'm not looking at Zach Olin. I'm not seeing him shank field goals in practice, which presumably he's doing, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think. That was one thing that maybe Dan McCartney was doing. That I didn't necessarily agree with. I know he's a good coach, and he has a lot of history and a lot of positive history. And far be it from me to question the guy. But I was wondering. I thought yanking him and then just deciding not to go for any field goals like anymore, ever, without like adjusting the strategy. It just seemed like they're like, all right, instead of like saying, all right, we got four downs to get a first down in the red zone or inside the 35, it was like, all right, oh, instead of kicking a field goal, they just go for it. And so they were like, they went for it like three times, right? It was like fourth and 10, fourth and 10, and fourth and 15. I thought maybe that could have been handled better. Maybe some of that's on the offense. Maybe, you know, like the offense not getting, you know, 10 yards was more of the problem. I don't know. I just thought that whole situation was weird in the fourth quarter.
No, I totally agree with you. And the thing with the special teams and with benching the kicker, it's just like, you know, in basketball, if you're shooting and you've gone 0 for 5 from the, you know, three-point line, I want to keep feeding that teammate the ball. I want him to eventually be able to hit one, get his confidence back, and then and know that I can go to him again. I don't understand when we had that 27-yard field goal, why we put a freshman kicker in when obviously your starting kicker is struggling. Well, why not let him try to come in and make that chip shot, get a little bit of confidence back in him, and then see where he can go from there? I just think it shows total lack of faith in your player when you pull him for another kid who I believe is a walk-on, and then you don't go for any field goals the rest of the whole game, especially with a quarterback that's struggling and everything else. I just think that mentally, that's just rough on your kicker.
Yeah, I think that had the air of panic. It was like a panic move, and I think that translates to everybody. You know, something's going wrong. You want to be able to trust something, like either your system, or you know, like, and that's why I like the air raid. And that's why I like Mike Leach, because like whatever the case, if they're above by, they're ahead by 50 or they're behind by 50, they know what they're gonna do. They're gonna go out there and they're gonna pass the ball, and that's it. And they trust it implicitly. And that's how they can come back. I think, you know, like Mike Leach, like famously came back in like a bowl game. They were down by like 20 or 30. I felt like by, you know, yanking the kicker and then not going for any field goals later, they were abandoning their system, you know, which is like what that feels like, running the ball, playing good defense, and just like playing smart football, you know, playing the percentages. We're in field goal range. We're going to kick the ball because this is the thing to do, right? This is our system. We get in field goal range, we should score. And in the same way that you don't just because Derek Thompson overthrows a couple guys, you don't just yank them or just completely abandon the passing game. I don't think you abandon the kicking game the same way. That said, I don't know. I don't know the whole story. I don't know what Zach Olin's doing. Yeah, like you mentioned that we were talking about it before. I have the stats right here. He went 13 of 15 in 2010. That includes 5 of 5 from the 20 to 29, 5 of 6 from 30 to 39, 2 of 3 from the 40s, and 1 of 1 from 50 plus. Then last year, 8 of 16, he only hit 50%, and his misses were in the 40-yard. He was 3 of 9 from the 40 to 49-yard range. He was 2 of 2 from 50. That's the strangest thing. He missed one from the 20s, and he missed one from the 30s. This season, all his misses are from 40 yards out. He's 0 for 3 from 40 to 49 yards. 2 of 5 on the year. Strangest thing. Oh yeah, and then he missed an extra point. But wasn't that one blocked? I think that was blocked.
I think so.
Yeah. I don't know. It's the scary thing when you can't trust your kicker. And I don't know where that places him going into next week. I don't like the idea of, you know, like, well, whoever misses the field goal is going to get yanked until the other guy misses one. You know what I mean? Like, what is that about? Yeah. Like, it's stupid. I think you settle these things early in preseason in practice. You don't settle them out in the field in the fourth or fifth game of the season. That said, it's all in Zach Olin. He has to hit those field goals, man. I don't know what's up with him.
The biggest thing, too, is McCarney talked about this in his post-game press conference. Consistency from the practice field has to carry over to game day. He said that Zach Olin made every single field goal except for one during practice all week. He said he even made a 50-yarder. So if he's making them in practice, there's either two things going on. A, we're not simulating in practice the game day experience enough, or B, he just can't handle the game day situation, and he shouldn't be in there. And those are the only two things about it. either we need to practice better and get a more real life type game situation as much as you can. I understand it's practice and it's hard to do, but that mentality, he's got to be able to carry over from practice to the game. So he's got to feel like he's in the same situation even when he's in practice. And, you know, it's a tough thing to do, but it's got to happen or they got to go somewhere else.
See, and that's another reason why you don't yank him, I think. If you know it's mental, you don't, like, put more mental stress on him. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you better make this or else you're going to get yanked. Even though you know he's money from the practice field. Something's up. If he's making it in practice, then it's, like you said, it's not mechanical. It's not like he's messing up there. He's probably going too fast because his adrenaline's up or something. I think Twitter friend Damon says, that he's probably like going too fast or, you know, looking up too early. That's basically what it is. That's it. I don't think special teams lost the game. I think this was on the offense. It certainly wasn't on the defense. And I seen some calls for some defensive changes, some calls for Zach Whitfield to get benched and Devontae Davis maybe to step up there, Kenny Byers or someone. I don't think that's the answer. I think Zach Whitfield gets he gets the benefit of the doubt because, you know, he was a running back exiting spring ball. And I think for the most part he's played pretty well. I think they were targeting him. They wanted him they were looking, I don't know if there were double moves. But they went deep on him a couple times. I think everybody wants to challenge him deep. And they busted one. It was the one pass they completed deep. He got beat, 76 yards. That put him up 14-7. That happens, you know. I think, you know, like, I don't think you bench him. And I think the defense played excellent. They played really well considering that Troy has a pretty good offense. Yeah. And they got to Corey Robinson a couple times, didn't they? Didn't they sack him once or twice?
I believe they did, but I do still think that they need to get more pressure and more work on their defensive front four. I know McCarney last week worked with the defensive line on trying to create more pressure and gave them some tips of his own from, you know, he's been a great D-line coach, or at least he was at Florida. And so they had some new stuff, new wrinkles in there, and I think it helped a little bit. I did notice some pressure on him. But there was also times when he was just standing back there, had all day. So we got to get more pressure on the quarterback. But I also agree with what you said. You can't bench Whitfield. He's a freshman cornerback who was a running back until, 2 weeks before the first week of the season?
Yeah.
I mean, he got turned into a defensive back with basically 2.5 weeks left of fall camp and won the starting job. So obviously our coaches saw something in him to believe that he can, you know, he can do well. And I'm pretty sure his two interceptions lead the team as of right now.
I think would Zach Orr, didn't he have two? I know he had one this game. Long story short is that he's playing well. You know, he got beat, and that's you don't get benched for getting beat on one play. Let me check that second. How many times did we sack him this game? Let me see.
I don't know. All I know is that our defense, you know, in years past would get burned every play, it seemed like. So
yeah, there were two sacks on Corey Robinson this game. After totaling zero against Kansas State, four against Texas Southern, and two against LSU. you're right. They didn't generate a whole lot of pressure sometimes, and Corey Robinson did go out there and I think he threw for like 274 yards. A lot of those were like on one and two drives, like they're two scoring drives basically. The one at the end of the second quarter when Corey Robinson threw to Jaquan Robinson for 15 yards, that one that tied it. And then like the big 76-yard pass to Chip Reeves over Zach Whitfield. Yeah. I don't know. The defense played well. I have like really no complaints. I think a lot of it, they stopped them. They got the ball back for the offense in the fourth quarter twice, two or three times. They ended up like there were like three possessions in the fourth quarter, yeah. And I think it's asking a bit much for them to slow down Troy again, and they didn't. They finally got pushed off the ball, and so that was frustrating. But that was by no means, you know, like their fault. Like, you know, the loss.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay. So,
I definitely agree. I mean, anytime you let up 14 points, you should win the game. Your defense didn't play bad. This is all on the offense. I tend to disagree with you, and I think it's a lot on the special teams too. I know it's on the offense, and the offense didn't convert a lot of things, but if you hit your three field goals, you have 9 points, you win the game. So to me, this loss is co-share between offense and special teams, where I felt, you know, the Kansas State thing was mostly just special teams. This one was, but not on the defense in any way, shape, or form. Defense has been much better than I ever thought it would be in the second year, and I really look forward to seeing them continue to play good ball.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there, and I think like maybe if you say the offense's job is to get the team in position to score, and that was scoring position, they should have completed it. But I think, I don't know, I think it's kind of like equally shared. I think those passes that Derek Thompson, you know, missed through were the same as those field goals that Zach Olin missed and that Zach Paul missed. You know, like they were execution things where, like, you got to get your head in the game or something. You know what I mean? Like, they're the same type of things. Like, this is your time to shine. This is what you practice on. This is where you got to complete these things, you know? Like, where the kicker, you know, it's like just all in him trying to kick the ball through the uprights. As a quarterback, you got to put your receivers in a place to make some plays, and they were not even given a chance to make some plays. And it's something that's happened. It happened against Texas Southern. He missed wide open guys in that game.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like, and plus, I just kind of lean, you know, a little harder on the quarterback, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess the biggest glaring play for me on the offense was, I want to say it was later in the fourth quarter. We got down, I want to say, to maybe like the 20 or 30 yard line. And I think we had a 4th and 11, and Derek Thompson pretty much had a guy open in the end zone, and he threw one like into the stands. Like, it hit like off the back wall of the end zone, and like it just, the pass was just so far away from the receiver. I was just so frustrated. And
yeah, and that's the thing, you know, it's demoralizing to everyone. You can see on the receivers' faces, they feel like, I did a lot of this work, I got open, you gotta hit me here. And you know, like, you're like, and the blockers are like, well, we did our job, everybody did their job, and they're like, dude, you gotta give us a chance to make plays. But yeah, like, I don't wanna jump on Derek Thompson too much. I mean, I don't think he's terrible. I think he's a good quarterback. He had a bad game. And, you know, so we won't jump on him anymore. We kind of said, those are the facts. You missed some plays. They probably should have won that game.
Yeah.
But they got another probably should win game coming up this week against Florida Atlantic, who's terrible. I kind of wrote a little bit about this on MeanGreenNation.com. And, well, I just kind of mostly just hinted at, like, how terrible they are. They I think, squeaked out one against Wagner. Am I right here? My stating facts. Yeah.
Wasn't that like 7-6 or something really, really horrible?
Yeah, yeah, that's what it was. I thought for a second I was like confusing a couple different teams there. They're not good. And we'll be playing them on the road, which I think is good. It gets everybody away, like all the team away from, you know, people like, I don't know what kind of reaction they're getting, but it gets them away from that. I think road games are good for teams to get together and build that team unity and say things like, nobody cares. We have each other and all that other good stuff. And that's fine. That's good stuff. This road trip, I think, allows them to do just that. I was saying, Florida Atlantic squeaked out a win of 7-3 over Wagner in the opening game of the season. They lost to terrible Middle Tennessee State 31-17. And then they got stomped by Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah.
That's the situation there. What were you gonna say?
Florida Atlantic, me. As bad as they are, something in my mind tells me this is a trap game. Like, I know Florida Atlantic's bad, and I really have all the confidence in the world that we're gonna go down there and slaughter them. But there's a little part of me in the back of my head that's like, you just lost a really, really disappointing game to a team that you probably should have beat at home. And now you've got to fly all the way over to the East Coast, play a team that really has nothing else to play for, so they're just going to try to gun for you because you're leaving their conference, and this is the last time they're going to play you, and they're just going to, I have a feeling, just going to try to put everything on it. You're also dealing with a new coaching staff, a new regime over there, so you don't have a ton of film, and you don't know exactly what's going to go on with them. And then you've got two important games right after that with Houston and Louisiana Lafayette. So, to me, I know it's a conference game, and that means it shouldn't be a trap game because you should take every conference game extremely important because your conference record's really what matters at this point. But to me, there's a little part of me that's just like really, really worried about this game, and then the rest of me is just like, we're going to dominate.
Well, North Texas is 109th overall in passing at 183 yards a game. Florida Atlantic is 114th at 160. Rushing, Florida Atlantic, 117 yards a game, 101st overall in the nation. We, by contrast, are 43rd in the nation at 189 yards a game. 19 points a game for us, 111th in the nation. They average 12.8 points a game, 121st. They allow 32.5 points a game, and a lot of this is Georgia scoring 56 and Alabama scoring 40. But Middle Tennessee put up 31 against them. They allow 32 points a game. We allow 24. We are 62nd in the nation. But LSU put the most on us at 41. And then, yeah, Kansas put up 35. I think we have a better defense. They don't have a good offense. I see what you're saying about the trap game, but I think they have a little that we want to bounce back in them, and he wants to play well. And I think you look at Derrick Thompson's performance against Texas Southern. He played equally as poorly, and then against Kansas State, he came out with one of his best games, or his best game of the season, completed 89% of his passes. So I think maybe he gets some of that there. I think the running game is like a machine. Everybody's playing really well right now. Antoine Jimerson has 305 yards. Brandon Byrd, 263 yards. Jimerson's averaging 6.5 yards a carry. I don't know. I don't really agree with you on the trap game. I kind of see what you're saying, but I think there's too much like anger, and they're going to take this one seriously. What do you think about Jeremy Brown getting so many carries last game?
I don't know. I like Jimerson. I think we should just keep giving the ball to him. He's fast. He just sneaks through there. Brown's decent, but...
Say it again?
No, Brown's decent, but I'm just not sure what I've seen from him. I haven't really seen that explosiveness that I've seen from both Byrd and Jimerson to this point.
Yeah, I feel like he does basically what Brandon Byrd does. You know, I don't know. Jeremy Brown ran 6 times for 17 yards, but it felt like he ran a lot more. And I think everybody, anytime he touched the ball, everybody was kind of disappointed by it. I guess it's like I think everybody trusts like the fans. They kind of like, oh, is that Brandon Byrd? Oh, they're like he's good, but he kind of goes straight up. I want to see Antoine Jimerson in there. And then Antoine Jimerson, they split it like practically evenly: 16 carries for Jimerson, 15 for Brandon Byrd. Jimerson had 75 yards. Brandon Byrd, 56.
How many carries did Brown have?
6. Yeah, 6 for 17. And I think that was a big disappointment anytime he touched the ball. It seemed like I thought maybe he had like 10 or 11. I'm surprised to see 6.
Yeah, it felt like more to me, too.
Yeah. I think like, and then what, Breland Chancellor seemed like he touched the ball more, but he had 3 rushes for 36 yards, by the way. What do you think about the notion that there are not enough playmakers on the team, like not enough receiving talent, and we got all these walk-ons, and so that's the reason that Derek Thompson's struggling out there?
I think that's part of the reason, but I will say I saw many wide-open receivers in that Troy game, and I saw many passes go over their heads or down to their feet or to the side of them or, you know, to other places. So I think that's an excuse. Chris Bynes got hurt in the first quarter of that game and limped out, and I didn't really see him the rest of the game. So that hurts. I think he's probably one of our deeper threats in that team, and not having him for most of that game did, I think, cause a little bit of an issue. T-Garden came in and played a little bit, but I didn't really see him do anything. But, you know, a quarterback that is consistent would have hit most those receivers. We had a lot of open guys. So I don't think we can completely blame Thompson's problems and the offensive problems on not just having enough playmakers. Being said, we do need more playmakers, but still, we also need somebody that can hit them.
Yeah, in that game where Derek Thompson completed 25-28 for 208 yards against Kansas State, Delgado caught 9, Breeland Chancellor caught 5, Antoine Jimerson caught 2 out of the backfield, Brandon Byrd 4 out of the backfield, Chris Bynes only caught 2, Andrew Power caught 2, and Smith, what's his first name? Darnell Smith, he caught 1.
Yeah.
This game, let's see, I'm trying to get my stats back up. Where'd it go? Come on. You know, like, so I don't know, like, Chris Bynes was a big part of last season where he had, what do you have last season? 37 catches, 442 yards. But I don't know, like, he's not, it seems like he's not being targeted that often. I don't know if it's him. I don't know, you want to lay that at his feet. But, like, this game, 6 passes went to Delgado. 6 passes were caught by Ivan Delgado. 4 from Breeland Chancellor, 1 Chris Bynes, like you said, and 1 to Antoine Jimerson. See, I think, like, it's like a simple, like a you know, intro to football thing. You watch the game, you're like, well, you look at the stats, right? Troy was taking away the easy short passes, like the passes to Andrew Power, the passes to the running backs out of the backfield. Breeland Chancellor was targeted, obviously. Like, he's the playmaker. They're guarding him. And that's one of the reasons why Ivan Delgado was running deep, like intermediate routes. And, you know, he's getting open. And could have probably been more. You know, it's not a bad thing to only have one or two guys that catch, you know, the majority of passes. If you can hit them and, you know, they're catching them. And like you said, they were open. There were a lot of dudes open. I also think that's an excuse. But I don't know. Like, and that's not like, you know, the coaches are not making that excuse. It's that was like Brett Vito saying that, beat writer. He was saying, oh, you know, you got to get the talent out there. That's why he couldn't hit. Well, go ahead.
The thing I can understand with playmakers and why they're saying that is because Troy stacked the box all night. They were putting 7-8 in the box. We were trying to run on them. We couldn't do it. They were trying to make us throw over the defense, like you said earlier. And I do agree that we probably don't have enough players to be able to constantly throw, or enough playmakers to throw constantly deep over the defense. But if you have a quarterback that can make those 5 or 10 yard passes and make those open throws, it's going to take them out of the box, and then the running game's going to go off anyways. So it's a weakness in our offense. Teams are going to play us like that until we can fix it. So we got to stop making excuses. We got to use what we have. We got to use who we have and go from there.
Yeah. Okay. So did we find out if the women's soccer team won the second game? Did they win?
I don't know. I didn't look.
Ah, we are terrible. Let me see right here.
I can do that.
Looking right now. We're looking. Looking.
I'm sure they did. I have faith in them.
I believe that they did. sorry, I'm just seeing pictures. Mingreen Soccer. Yeah, 2-0 weekend. Yeah, see, I thought.
Yeah, they beat ULM.
Sweet. 2-0 weekend in Louisiana. They're top 10 ranking in the South region of the NSCAA poll.
Volleyball girls had a 2-0 weekend too.
Yeah, like, yeah, they beat Baylor.
They beat Monroe and Lafayette.
They beat Baylor like earlier in the week, right?
Yeah, they did actually. So they had a 3-0 week. They had a 2-0 weekend in conference and a 3-0 week.
Sweet.
Yeah. Sweet. Very good.
See. Now we cover that. Now, if I lived in Denton still, and I'd be going to those, I'd go to some of those soccer games. They play what, Friday, right? Against I don't even know who, Louisiana Lafayette, the soccer team I'm talking about. In Denton. So go see that Mean Green Village, Mean Green Soccer Complex. I forget what it's called exactly. Yeah, this week
they play South Alabama. This week.
South Alabama, okay, right? Yep. South Alabama. It doesn't matter who they play. It matters that they play and when they play, which is at 7 o'clock on Friday. So go out there and, you know, show them what's what. Fill it up. How many people can that stadium fill? Do you know?
I want to say like 2000, maybe. I was there a couple years ago when we played SMU, and it was like jam packed, couldn't move, couldn't walk because there were so many people in there, craziness. And I wanted to say it was like 2000. Maybe it's a little bigger. I don't really remember, but something like that.
All right, so yeah, go out there and fill it up and talk some mess and cheer on the Mean Green women, and yeah. All right, so what else we got to talk about? Do you want to?
We do have a we have a new recruit.
Yeah, it was a linebacker, right?
Yeah, a guy named Fred Scott from Cannondale. I'm not really sure where that is, but
yeah, he had offers over I forget who.
He was offered by Texas State, and he had interest from Louisiana Tech, and his coach said that Tech was probably going to get ready to offer any day.
Well, fancy. Okay. So
he chose us. He has a sister that goes to UNT. They're very close, so that helped us. He wants to play inside or outside linebacker, doesn't really care. And supposedly he has good grades and a good IQ. That's good.
Yeah, sweet, man. I'm glad. Welcome if you decide to follow through with your commitment, Fred Scott, right?
Yeah.
I'm not the hugest fan of recruiting, man, just because, like, you know, you get excited, you start reading about it. One, it feels kind of creepy, especially, like, the older you get. Like, you know, say you're, like, 35 and you're looking, you're like, oh, this guy's, like, you know, he's, like, 6'3", blah, blah, blah. You know, you're just, it's just kind of weird because you're like, yeah, that guy's in high school, you weirdo. Yeah, man.
I wonder what his 40 is, and I wonder how muscular he is.
Yeah, he has good build. You know, I'm just like, all right, okay, it's great.
Looks good with his shirt off.
And but he's 17, you know what I mean? Like, it's just weird for you to be saying that.
Yes.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's good. You know, hopefully he signs with the team, and it's all good. And, you know, we continue the Mean Green dominance. Not been a whole lot of dominance, but, you know, like, yeah. So I think that's a good enough podcast for today. Get back
awesome
in the saddle.
Podcast.
Yeah, we skipped a week. Apologize for that. We had some scheduling difficulties. We should be back on like a regular schedule, hopefully. As soon as you get moved, you're gonna like what, like 2 weeks away from moving back to Dallas, right?
I am. I'm moving back to DFW in 2 weeks. Gonna get to go to the rest of the football games, hopefully. Definitely gonna be there. I'm gonna buy basketball season tickets. So gonna be in the house for County to end the season. Rolling around, so we're definitely going to have some in-depth podcasts, and it's going to be awesome, so I'm excited.
Sweet. So don't forget, to if you're, like, finding this online and you're just, like, you know, like, streaming this from the website, that's cool, but you can subscribe via iTunes. You can subscribe via, like, your Android phone. I don't know how you do that. I don't have an Android phone. I'm Team iPhone, so you can figure that out on your own, buddy. Just open up a new tab. Ask the Google how you do it, and Google will tell you. Daddy Google will tell you.
I'm team Android, but I don't know how to do it. Wait, I listen to us on the computer.
Yeah, well, that's perfectly fine. It's nice and easy to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it for us here. I'm Adam. Tony, you're Tony.
This is Tony. Yeah.
You find us on Twitter. Or you find me on Twitter. Mean Green Nation. You can find me, you find Tony, where we can find you on Twitter?
Boston Mean Green.
Yeah. There you go, man. There we go.
Hit us up. We like to hear things.
Yeah.
If you want us to talk about something, hit us up. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. Use the many media at your disposal. You can tweet at us. You can email me, adam@meangreennation.com. You can leave a comment on the website. I know we got a couple comments. I'm always on Twitter. I'm checking that throughout the day. So, yeah. Anyway. Go Mean Green. Later.
Mean Green.